And we're going to start on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, actually, by the two dots, five lines from the top. The subject of the perek has been so far about a person sells a house, for example, what is and isn't automatically included. Now, you do have the concept called Hakol Kaminig HaMedina, which is where you have, where it's in a particular place, the local minhag is that you sell X and automatically it includes Y, then that overrides the dinim that we're talking about over here. But here we're talking about where there's no such minhag HaMedina, so then we have to figure out exactly what's included. So the Mishnah had said, for example, that you sell a house, you haven't automatically sold a Yitzia, which the Gemara had given a couple of definitions. What a Yitzia is exactly, some kind of side building or outbuilding or whatever attached to it. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Dimi min ha'dar, Hayman demazbin lebeis lachavre." A person sells a house to somebody else. Now you can consider one thing that the house might include, which we're going to mention in the next Mishnah, is it might include a burr or a dus. A burr is a pit, is a water pit, and a dus is also a water pit. The difference being, as the Gemara is going to explain on Samach Daled Amud Aleph, that a burr is natural and a dus is built. Within that, you have Rishonim discuss. Doesn't mean that a dus is above ground, it's built with bricks or stones or what have you. Or is it that a dus is also underground, but the difference is that a burr is in harder ground where all you need is to dig out the cavity and maybe plaster it, and that's it. Whereas a dus would be where you're digging in softer ground, and therefore you have to line it with bricks or something. Whatever the case, the point is that the Gemara had established earlier a burr or a dus. Well, the Mishnah is the next Mishnah is going to say, but the Gemara had discussed earlier the point that a burr and dus are not automatically included in the sale of the house, and the reason is because they're not used in the same way as the rest of the house. The rest of the house is meant for you to live in and store your furniture in and what have you. And the burr and the dus have a different kind of use. So unless you actually mention them in the bill of sale, they're not going to be included. So now Rav Dimi min ha'dar is saying you sell a house to somebody. So you do want to, let's say, you do want to sell the burr and the dus. So now you have to include it in the shtar mechira, even if he wrote in the shtar that I'm selling you the depth and the height of the house, that's not good enough for him to automatically include the burr and the dus. Rather, what he'd have to do is he'd have to write in the shtar, k'nilach ara ad rum rakia. He would have to say, you should acquire this whole property from the depths of the earth all the way until the height of the heavens. Meaning, in other words, as the Rashbam explains, if he only mentioned umkavirumah, so it would mean that he has rights beneath the house and he has rights above the house. He has the rights to dig below the house, for example, to dig out to dig out the foundations further down if he wants, or to dig a new well or whatever, any kind of thing like that. And the same thing with rumah would mean. That would mean, for example, that he has the rights to build another story on top of the house or things like that. He has air rights. But it wouldn't include the burr and the dus because those are used in a different way in the house than the house, and therefore just writing unka v'ruma is enough. But when you write mitahoim ara and rum rakia, then you're making it clear everything that is in the footprint of this house from the depths until the heights is included, and therefore it will include the burr and the dus. So therefore he has to do that. Actually the Ritva points out it might not be so much. There's two ways of looking at it. Is it that those words mitahoim ara rum rakia are going to include the burr and the dus, and therefore if he wrote only those and didn't write umka v'ruma, then they're included? Or would it have to be that he has to write both, and only because he's written both doesn't mean he's including the burr or the dus? Anyway, the Gemara explains, my time under umka v'ruma b'stamalaikani, because umka v'ruma by themselves are not going to acquire the burr and the dus. Again, all they'll gain him is that now he has underground rights and above roof rights. So ahani umka v'ruma l'mikni umka v'ruma. So therefore, by writing umka v'ruma, that gives him those rights to dig under the house, or to dig under the house, or to build a new story above the house, or whatever. So it's effective to that extent that now he owns the umkavaruma, now he owns those air rights and things. And then by adding the words that you're acquiring from the depths of the earth until the heights of the heavens, that includes that helps that now he's able to acquire the bur and the dus as well as any mechilas, as well as any tunnels that are under the house. So again, one way of looking at it is that one way of looking at it is when you write, you have to write both lashonos. And the other way of looking at it is even if you'd only written mitahom arad rum rakia, then that would be enough to acquire the bur and the dus. However, you wouldn't have the other underground or other above air rights unless you write umkavarum. Tosfos actually discusses when you write even if you write umkavaruma, then actually no, if you have a roof that has a mica 10 tefachim tall, and the Mishnah had said that's also not included in the sale of the house automatically, again, because that's not used in the same way as the rest of the house. So even with umkavaruma, you wouldn't automatically acquire that, same way as you wouldn't acquire the bur and the dus unless you write umkavaruma. And then Tosfos goes on to defend the Rashbam's explanation that one way or the other, once you write umkavaruma, that's good enough to acquire the house. And if there were bur and dus on top of the roof as well, let's say you had a swimming pool or something on top of the roof, or Tosfos mentions you had, for example, a mikveh of the Kohen Gadol that was on top of one of the chambers in the Bis Mikdash, then it would be included. We're only talking about one that's underground or built directly above ground that you wouldn't acquire unless you say mitahom arad rum rakia. Okay. So the Gemara says, Lema Messiah. Well, can we say then that the Mishnah supports what Rav Dimi said? Because the next Mishnah says, Veloyas Abur, Veloyas Adus, you sell a house, you haven't automatically included a Bur or Dus, Afapisha Kosavoy Umkavaruma, even if he wrote in the Shtar the words that I'm selling you, the Umkavaruma, the depths of the house and the height of the house. Afapisha Kosavoy Umkavaruma, Visakadaitach Bistama, Connie, now, if you're going to tell me, if you were to say that he could acquire the bur and dus, if you were to say that he automatically has air rights and underground rights without writing that, then just writing umkavaruma itself ought to be enough to get the bur and the dus and the underground tunnels. The fact that not shows that, like Rav Dimi said, there are two different things. Umkavaruma gives him other underground rights and other above air rights, but not the bur and dus themselves. And according to one possibility in Tosfos, also not the roof itself. And therefore, you have to write, as Rav Dimi had said, you have to write mitohim ara ad rum rakia. So if we learn the Mishnah that way, then it proves Rav Dimi's point. The Gemara says not necessarily. Delight possibly no, because you could be talking about that. Because the Mishnah could be talking about where he didn't write the Loshen. He didn't write the Loshen umkavaruma at all. So then you would say that's why he's not getting the bur and dus. You could say if he wrote umkavaruma, maybe is enough to get the bur and dus. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Afapisha kasavlei katani. The Mishnah clearly says even though he wrote umkavaruma, he's still not getting the bur and the dus. So what do you mean he didn't write it? So the Gemara says, no, because you could say hachikama, you could understand the Mishnah as follows. We're not saying that it has to be this way, but at least we're saying you can't necessarily prove Rav Dimi's point from the Mishnah. The Mishnah may be saying, afapishalei kosavloi kamisha kosavdami, we would say, even though he didn't write umkavaruma, we still consider as if it was written, lamikna umkavaruma, insofar as now he has rights under the house, to dig under the house, and to build above the house. But lamikna bur v'dus machilus, but as far as acquiring the bur, the dus, or tunnels, no, I kosavle umkavaruma kani, the ilai kosavle kani, only if he writes umkavaruma, only if he actually writes them, is he kona them, but otherwise not. So the Mishnah may be understood then not like Rav Dimi had said. So we don't have a solid proof for what Rav Dimi is saying from the Mishnah. Rav Dimi is saying you write Umka Veruma, that's still not enough to get the Bor endorsed. You have to write something else. The Mishnah may be implying if you didn't write that, then that's when, if you didn't write Umka Veruma, then you're not getting the Bor endorsed. If you wrote them, then you're getting those. And even without writing those, you still have the underground rights and the air rights. So the Gemara says Toshma. Well, let's try to prove. The Mishnah had said Veloyas Agag, or Mishnah and Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, had said that when you sell a house, you haven't automatically sold the roof. Bisman Shiyashle Maika Gavaya Saratvachim, when the roof has a wall around it, a fence, a guardrail, whatever you want to call it, around it, that's 10 tefachim tall, because again, it's not bottled to the house because it's used in a different way than the house. Now, the next Mishnah on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph is going to mention this Umka Veruma business. The first Mishnah didn't mention that. So V'Yisak Dadach V'Stomachani, if you're going to tell me, not like Rav Dimi says, that even without saying Umka Veruma, you've automatically acquired air rights and underground rights, V'Yisak Dadach V'Stomachani Umka Veruma, if you're going to tell me that regardless, he's acquiring Umka Veruma, well, so what's the difference whether the mica is 10 tefachim tall? Even if it is, why shouldn't the roof be included in the sale? If you're going to tell me that even without writing Umka Veruma, you automatically have air rights and you automatically have underground rights, well, then in that case, then he ought to acquire the roof as well. And the Mishnah didn't say anything about whether he wrote Umka Veruma or not. So that would prove Rav Dimi's point that you have to write Umka Veruma in order to acquire the roof. And without that, you haven't even acquired the roof. And then if you write that, then you're acquiring things like airspace, and you're acquiring air rights above the roof. But to acquire the actual roof itself, it's going to have to be spelled out in the shtar. So again, that would prove Rav Dimi's point. And again, you have where the Rashbam stresses that Rav Dimi's main point was regarding the oimek, regarding the depth as far as the bor and the dus. But incidentally, we can see from him also as far as the roof. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. You could say given to Gavoya Saratvachim Choshev. No, because you could answer that once the roof has a fence around it that's 10 tefachim tall, then already it's considered in effect. It's not really considered a roof anymore. In effect, it can be considered almost as though it was a new house of its own. And when he says, I'm selling you a house, then that's not going to be automatically included. But again, unless he writes Umka Veruma, but you could say that the actual airspace above the house, the ability to build higher, that he would get regardless, which again would be not like Rav Dimi. So you can't really prove. Again, you can't really prove one way or the other from the Mishnah about Rav Dimi's as a proof one way or the other to Rav Dimi's position. Tosfos has a long discussion over here that ends up explaining the whole flow of the Gemara and of the next few lines in a slightly different way. So we'll go through according to the Rashbam, and then we'll go back and revisit it. So the Gemara says, "Amar le Ravina le Ravashi Toshma." Come, let's try to bring another proof about Rav Dimi's din. Do Amar Rish Lakish. Now Rish Lakish had said earlier in the Gemara, "Zoisei Meres." This because a braisa had mentioned a case where a person sells something, and because he mentioned something specific. You have a case over there where he sold a field, where Levi sells a field to Yisrael, and he says, I'm selling it to you on condition that in the future I'm going to be able to continue getting the Maisa Rishon from this field. So then that works, and in effect, the reason is because we say it's not considered he sold the entire field. It's considered, in effect, as though he sold 90% of the field to the Yisrael and retained 10% of it, or the payrus of 10% of it, for himself. So Rish Lakish had said, Zoyse Meres, we see from that Mishnah, from that Braisa, we can derive the following din, says Rish Lakish. Hamurcha bayis l'chaveiro, a person sells a house to somebody else. And he says that, and he says, I'm selling it to you on condition that I am retaining the upper diuta. Now, Rashbam explained before that diuta means something like a floor, a story. So it meant, in other words, that he's holding back for himself, that and saying that I'm keeping the roof for myself. Now, again, the Mishnah had said, you sell a house, the roof is not automatically included anyhow. So now, but now you spelled it out and said, on condition that I'm keeping the roof for myself. So diuta hel yonishaloi, so he keeps the roof for himself. Ramin lamai hilsa. So we say, as far as what halacha, anyway, he's not automatically selling the roof if he didn't spell it out in the shtar, like we said before. And the Gemara had said, Rav Zvid Omar, Shem Rotza Lahoitziba Zizin Motzi. It means, insofar as Rav Zvid had said, that even though one way or the other, the buyer is not getting the roof, but the difference is, if he hadn't said that I'm keeping the roof for myself, that I'm keeping the upper diuta for myself, then the buyer would have the right to buyer would have the right to build ledges, zizin or ledges or beams or whatever that stick out over the chatzer. That now people would use them to hang things on, different things like that. So sort of Zvid is saying that if he said so like this, in other words, by default he's not buying the roof anyhow. But if the guy doesn't say I'm keeping the roof for myself, then at least the buyer would have the right to extend out zizin over the chotzer. We're talking about, let's say, it's Rashbam, and explained earlier that we're talking about, let's say, the chotzer, that he sold the chotzer as well. Tosfos had a somewhat different understanding, because Tosfos pointed out after all, it didn't actually explicitly say anything about selling the chotzer. Anyway, so Rav Zvid had said that he would have the right to extend out zizin. However, if the seller clearly says, I am keeping the diuta hel yona for myself, then it means that he's not selling him those rights either. Again, Tosfos is saying that Tosfos, who points out that after all didn't say anything about selling the chotzer, they had previously explained on Samach Gimel and Aleph that we're talking about that now, for example, the other way around, he's saying that I own a chotzer over here. If later on I want to build a building over there and I want to have zizin that extend from my new building onto this roof, that I should be allowed to. So again, it depends whether the other guy had said I'm keeping the diuta hel yona for myself. So that was Rav Zvid. Rav Papa Omar Shim Rotza Livnis Aliyah Al Gaba Boiner. Rav Papa had said that it makes a difference whether the buyer of the house is going to be able to build another story on top of that. So again, if nothing is said explicitly about the diuta hel yona, he may not own the roof, but he does have the right. He does have the air rights to the extent that he can build over there. That he can build another floor. Rashbam and Tosfos had both discussed earlier. Actually, we don't necessarily mean building another floor. We mean actually that if the upper floor collapses, then he has the right to rebuild it as it was. Whereas if the other guy says diuta hel yona shali, then it means he doesn't even have that right. Anyway, the point is, Ravina is saying the proof from here, as far as Rav Dimi min Ahudah's din, is as follows. If you were going to tell me that when you sell a house, even if you don't say umka varuma, you're not acquiring the house and you're not acquiring the attic, the roof or anything above it, lomali amanas, then why would the guy have to mention amanas to diuta hel yona shali? So obviously, therefore, that braisa about the diuta hel yona proves Rav Dimi's points. You have three things. You can have where he sells it without saying anything at all. Then the buyer does not have the right to the roof, but he has rights to the airspace above the roof, as far as zizin or as far as building another floor. Then if the guy on the other hand says I am keeping the diuta hel yona, then he doesn't even have that. And then the other hand, if he says umkavaruma, if he says umkavaruma, then what that tells us is that now he has the rights to uh, to Or if he writes even if he doesn't write Umka Baruma, then that we include, we consider as though it was said, and only if he says that I'm selling you everything from the depths until the heights, then he owns the roof as well. So that would be what that would be Rav Dimi's that would be Rav Dimi's point. The Rashbam points out, and other Rishonim agree that primarily the Gemara is bringing from Rav Papa's din about that he has the rights to build on top of the roof. Rav Zvid's point about Zizin is not really the Gemara just brought it in, because once we're bringing in Rav Papa's opinion, then we're bringing in Rav Zvid's as well. So if we consider that, then since we have that case where he says Yuta Hal Yonah Shali, then that would prove Rav Dimi's point that about if he didn't say that, and on the contrary, he said that I'm selling you me'onko shal tohoim ad rumo shal rakia, then he includes the roof, but otherwise not, but he does include the airspace above it. And the Gemara says, still not necessarily. Ahani le amanas di nofel hoder bonilo. No, because you could say the amanas, so that when the guy says that I'm an amanas, that I'm keeping the diuta hal yonah, it means if that diuta itself falls down, if the roof collapses in, or the mica around it collapses in, hoder bonilah, then he's able to build it without the guy downstairs objecting. Without that, he wouldn't have the rights to. Somewhat similar to the way we learned in Bav Metzia, for example, that you sell to somebody, I'm selling you this second floor, which is on top of this house. Then it means that he's meshabed the house to that second floor, but otherwise not. It seems
incredible that he, you know, a house without a roof is not a house, basically.
Well, no, but we mean in other
you
words,
don't have
he, to... right, I understand, but in other words, he could build it not as a functional roof. In other words, you have to remember, roofs in those times were flat, and people would actually use them for quite a few of their activities. It was mentioned about that earlier in the Masechta, there were dinim about that. Here we're saying, in other words, if he says, Amanas Shadyurta Alyana Shali, it would mean if the roof caves in, for example, sure, the guy who owns the house can rebuild it because he needs a ceiling. But in other words, he would say to the other guy, fine, but nevertheless, your Dyurta Alyana is gone. You don't have any more rights to the roof over there, because now this is a new roof. This is a new ceiling that I built just for the sake of my house, and you don't have a right to put a mic on it and to use it. And I could even choose, for example, if I want to make it a sloped roof instead of peaked roof, where you won't be able to use it at all.
It's without even that situation that the roof collapses. Let's say the roof doesn't collapse. It's obvious that the roof belongs to the house without saying it.
No,
I mean, who
point.
Would
no,
buy a house without a roof?
That's the whole point. We're saying the use of the roof itself is considered something separate, to the extent if I sell you a house, again, in a place where there's no particular minyan hamadina afterward, otherwise, where there's no otherwise minyan hamadina, and I tell you I'm selling you this house, I'm not automatically including the roof if the roof has a mica 10 tefachim tall, because that's considered a separate area. So in other words, I have obviously the roof is meshubad to the house to the extent that if it collapses, I can rebuild it because I can't live in a house without a roof. But on the other hand, here, I sold you the house. You have the rights to the house, but I have rights to the roof. You don't even have the right to go up on that roof without my permission.
Where does the Mishnah sources that aspect of the sale in the Torah?
The dinim in our parak are not really sourced in psukim. They're more based on what the chachamim evaluated. When you're selling A, or you automatically including B? Again, it depends on minhag hamedina, but we're saying where there's no minhag hamedina, then we figure a roof, for example, is used in a way that's so different than the house, or a bird under a dorso used in a way that's so different than the house, that they're not automatically included in the sale unless you actually specified something to the extent that you would. You know what? I mean, you have Lahavdil and secular law you have all the time where they write out, there's a reason why nowadays when you write out a bill of sale or rental or whatever, you mention all these details, because otherwise you have all the time that you didn't mention a particular detail, and in fact lawyers will successfully argue then that you didn't mean to include that detail in terms of air rights and in terms of rights to use the roof, et cetera, et cetera.
But the roof is not a detail. The roof is the essence of the house, basically.
No, but that's what I'm saying. You have a difference with it. But you have a difference between a roof insofar as protecting the house versus a roof insofar as a place where I can do activities of mine or whatever. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Anyway, Tosfos has a long, long discussion about the whole flow of the Gemara over here. For one thing, Tosfos is discussing somewhat similar to the point you're making that how could it be, for example, if you write Umka Baruma, you're going to have the rights above the roof, for example, to build above it, but you're not going to have rights to the roof itself to use the roof. What's the logic? And a number of other points Tosfos makes. Tosfos explains that Diyuta, where when we talk about Diyuta Halyon over here, we're not talking about like the Rashbam had said, the actual roof and the use of the roof itself, but rather Diyuta Halyon would actually mean the upper row of stones that makes up the top of the wall of the house itself. Where above that, you have the roof is built above that. So if you sell a house and you say Diyuta Halyon Shali, So the Gemara is saying, what do you mean? It's not like you can remove that row of bricks if you want. But then Rav Zvid is saying, it means, in other words, that you'd be retaining the rights to build zizin that extend out from that. And the owner of the house can't say, well, wait, that's putting extra strain on the wall. And I don't want that because I don't want the walls to collapse. Well, that's why I kept that Diyuta Halyona for myself, that I have the right to use that row as a place from which where I can attach zizin. And Rav Papa is saying not only that, that you would be allowed to, you'd actually be allowed to build above that. You could have like a building built on pillars that stand on the ground surrounding the house without actually putting more weight on the walls, but to still have a building built above the house on pillars like that. And then the Gemara goes through the flow of the discussion over there about what exactly would and wouldn't be included. The point is the Gemara is saying we don't really have a proof from the Mishnah for the Dimi Min HaHadaras Din. On the other hand, we also don't have a refutation of it, and the halacha is in fact like him. So again, depending exactly what you do and don't write in the shtar is what exactly is and isn't going to be included. So if you don't write anything at all, if you just say I'm selling you the house, then we're saying that you own the house, but you haven't bought any rights below the house, like to dig below it or above it. And you certainly haven't bought a bor or a dus, which are built into the house, because those have a completely separate use. And similarly, as far as rights to use the roof or to build above it or whatever, you write umka baruma, you gain those things, but not the actual bor or dus or roof itself. And when you write from the depths of the earth until the heights to the heavens, then you have all of those things as well. Mishnah says, continuing what's not included in the sale of a house when you sell it. So the Mishnah says, which we just quoted and discussed, lois habur v'lois hadus, that when you sell a house, you have not automatically included a bur or dus. Because as we said, even though he wrote that I'm selling you the umka v'ruma, the depths and the height of the house, so again, that only gives him the rights to dig under the house or to build above the house or things like that. It doesn't give him rights to the bor or dus themselves. So again, according to Rav Dimi, the point was, if you don't write umka v'ruma, you don't even have the rights to dig below the house. You write umka v'ruma, at least you have the right to do that, but you don't own the bor and dus unless you actually spell it out. And the Mishnah continues, v'tzorech likach lo derech, divrei Rav Akiva. Now Rav Akiva says, so now if you sold a house and you didn't, so now we're saying the bor or dus that are in the house are not automatically included. Well, that means you still own a bor or dus there. You're going to have to get to them somehow. So Rav Akiva holds, you actually are going to have to buy an easement to be able to get that bor or the dus. We wouldn't say, in other words, Rav Akiva is saying, we wouldn't say that when you sold the house and you didn't include any clauses about selling the bor or the dus, meaning that you're keeping them for yourself, Rabbi Akiva holds, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, that you've not automatically reserved for yourself a bor and dus by not including them in the shtar. You have not automatically reserved for yourself an easement to get to the bor and dus. Therefore, if you want to be able to, you're going to have to pay for that. Which actually the Yad Ramah points out that in that case, suppose, and what happens if you don't buy that easement? What good is owning the Bor Dus going to give you? Well, one thing it gives you, he says, it gives you Dinim of Bametzra later on. If the other guy wants to sell the house, then you have first rights over it, as we learned in Bava Metzia. And also that if you decide later on you do want to sell them, the Bor Dus, then you can charge whatever you want for it. And if the guy wants them, he's going to have to pay because after all, you do own them. But as far as getting to them to draw water without having bought an easement, you're not going to be able to, Rabbi Akiva is saying, because we assume that other than that, you sold the entire house without any conditions. And it's sort of like achlei derech. Chacham say you don't need to buy an easement to get to the bor dus, because Rabbi Akiva holds basically, as we're going to see in the Gemara, moicha ba'ayin yofa moicha. When you're selling as generously as possible, and therefore you mean to include everything unless otherwise specified. And according to the Chachamim, not when you sell, you're selling ba'ayin ra, and therefore automatically you're reserving for yourself an easement to go to the place even without specifying. Continues the Mishnah. Now, Rabbi Akiva does agree. If the seller says, I'm selling you the house exclusive of these things, so now he wouldn't have needed to specify that, because after all, even without specifying, the Bor Dus are not included, as we said. So if he explicitly says, I'm selling you the house minus the Bor Dus, then Rabbi Akiva would agree he doesn't have to buy an easement, because the very fact that he mentioned them and saying, I'm excluding them from the sale, which he wouldn't have had to anyway, implies that, because anyway, they're not sold, implies that he wants to reserve for himself a way of getting them. So Rabbi Akiva would agree in that case that he doesn't need to buy an easement. Meanwhile, the Chum are saying that it doesn't really matter whether you say Chutz Me'elu or not. You're saying Chutz Me'elu because you want to be clear about it, because you don't want the guy to later on, you don't want the buyer to later on say, hey, wait a minute, why don't I own this bur? You sold me the house. So you spell out clearly in order to forestall any misunderstanding. According to the Chachamim, writing Chutz Me'elu has no particular effect, whereas according to the Bakiva, it has an effect in terms of the easement. Another din, continues the Mishnah, Machram L'Acher. Now, what would happen the other way around? If the other way around, you sell somebody the Bor Dus, but not the house. That's how the Rashbam learns. The Rambam learns a little differently that we could be talking about that. The Rambam spells out. We don't mean, in other words, it's a separate case where Reuven sold the house to Shimon and reserved the Bor for himself. And now the question is, what happens if Shimon sells it to Levi? Because obviously then, in that case, the same dinim are going to apply. Shimon can't sell to Levi anything that he himself doesn't have. So we're talking about, like the Rashbam says, we're talking about the other way around. Reuven sells Shimon the bor or the dus, but not the house. So Rabbi Akiva says he doesn't need to buy an easement, because by selling the bor or dus, he's doing ba'ayin yofa, and automatically he's including an easement. And Nachum say the other way around, he would have to buy himself an easement, a way to get there, because otherwise we say mocher b'ayin ro mocher, and you're only selling the bor and the dus, but not the means of access to them. Okay. So the Gemara says, Yossi Ravina v'kakashale. The first thing is, Ravina was sitting and wondering, hainu bor, hainu dus, aren't a bor and a dus the same thing? They're both cisterns in which you store water. So, and they're both underground. So why does the Mishnah even need to mention both of them? So Amale Rava Tesfa, the Ravina. So Rava Tesfa, Rava Tesfa is called in other places, whatever. He says to Ravina, he was one of, this Rava or Rava Tesfa was one of the last of the Amoroi. So he's called Tesfa either because he was an expert in Tesefters, or because he's one of the last ones who added things to the Gemara. Tesfa meaning the adding one. Anyway, he says to Ravina, Toshma, the Tanya, I can show you from a Braisa. Echad burva echad adus bekaka, a burra adus are both in the ground. Elisha burba chfira, the adus bevinyan. The difference is that a burr is just dug into the ground and a dus is built. So the point is, in other words, that Ashbam says, like we said before, a burr would be where you're digging in hard ground, where all you need to do is dig and plaster, and that's it. Whereas a dus would be where it's in soft ground, and if you just dig over there, it's going to fall in. So therefore, you have to line it with stones or bricks or whatever to keep it from collapsing. The point being, in other words, if the Mishnah had mentioned only a burr, you could say a dus being that it's built, then it's maybe included in the house. And on the other hand, a dus is, in effect, a building of its own, whereas a burr is not. So you need both of them. So we need to be told by both of them that they're not bottled to the house. Again, that's according to the Rashbam. There are Rishonim who learn that a dus is actually above ground. And then the Gemara says, Bekarka means that it's on the ground. So a burr will be underground, the dus will be above ground. Whatever the case, the point is, there is a difference for you. Similarly, the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Ashi v'kakashale, Rav Ashi was sitting and wondering the same thing. Hainu bur, hainu dus, on a bur and a dus, the same thing. Omle makshisha beid Rav Chistel Rav Ashi toshma, letanya echad a bur v'echad a dus v'karka, they're both in or on the ground. El shah bur v'chfir v'ad dus v'binyan, a bur is dug and not lined with bricks. A dus is dug and lined with bricks, or a dus is above ground, as the case may be. The point being, in other words, so that's the difference, and that's why the Mishnah has to mention both of them, because each one has a bit of a chiddush over the other one. Why it is that when Ravina asked the question and Rav Tosfah told it to him, Rav Ashi had to ask the question again, and Makshisha had to tell him the answer. I don't know, different batei medrash maybe. Okay, so now we said in the Mishnah, "V'tzarech likach le'derech divrei Rav Akiva chamarim ein tzarech v'lo." So we said, as far as when you sold the house and the bur or dus are not included, where Rabbi Akiva says, then you have to buy the rights to go to there. You have to buy an easement, and the Chum say you don't. So the Gemara says, "My lab b'hokam miflegi." Shouldn't we say, "Goes habach"? Add the words, "My komiflegi." My komiflegi, Rabbi Akiva, Rabban, and what exactly is the underlying argument between Rabbi Akiva and the Chum? "My lab b'hokam miflegi." Shouldn't we say they seem to be arguing on the following point? That Rabbi Akiva sava mercha ba'ayin yofa mercha, Rabbanan sava mercha ba'ayin ra mercha. Like we said, Rabbi Akiva holds when you're selling as generously as possible. So therefore, you're meaning to include whatever should be included. So fine. For example, you're selling a house. You're not automatically selling the bur or the dus. That's fine, because after all, the bur and the dus are used in a way so different than the house that we don't have to think that they're included. But on the other hand, we would say that when you're selling the house and leaving the bur or dus for yourself, you're selling the house as generously as possible, and therefore you're not keeping for yourself an easement unless otherwise specified. Whereas the Chum would hold that you're selling ba'ayin ra. In general, you're trying to reserve whatever rights for yourself you can. And in that case, then we say you're automatically reserving for yourself the easement. And in fact, there are other places in the Gemara where we mention that point about mercha ba'ayin ra or mercha ba'ayin nafa. For example, Rashbam says we have a din that was in the previous perek about we sold you sold some trees and kept the house and kept the land that the trees are growing in for yourself. Have you automatically included the land that's under the trees themselves? Again, to the extent, for example, that the guy would be allowed to dig there or not. And you would say that Rabbi Akiva would have, and Rabbi Akiva and the Chum have the same machlokes. So we would have the same thing. Rabbi Akiva l'taimei, then Rabbi Akiva is going according to his shita, where he says when you sell, you're selling as generously as possible and not leaving anything for yourself. So therefore, when you're selling the trees, then Rabbi Akiva would say that automatically you're also selling the land that's under the trees themselves, the footprint of the trees, and the Chum would disagree. And we would say mehacha. We would derive that understanding of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim from our Mishnah. So is that what it is? But the Gemara answers back, "Mimai, who says that that's the correct understanding, the machlokas, which then you want to be able to derive from that to other areas in halacha? Maybe not necessarily. Duma Rav Akiva Sava, the reason why over here, Rav Akiva, the reason why, maybe everybody agrees, Mercher Ba'ayin Yofa Mercher. And in the case of the trees, for example, that it would mean that if he sells him trees, then automatically he's selling him the footprint of the trees as well. Or the Rashbam says you could also understand that both of them say Mocha Ba'ayin Ra Mocher, and that therefore the Machloikas, either way, the point is the Machloikas over here wouldn't necessarily bear on the case of the trees. Duma, maybe the point is Rav Akiva Sava. A person doesn't want to pay money and still have other people trampling through his house. So Rabbi Akiva would hold that, listen, Reuven is selling a house to Shimon, and if you don't buy yourself an easement, we can assume that Shimon doesn't want anybody stam walking through his house. So therefore, we can assume. And Reuven, the seller, knows that Shimon is not going to want to buy under those conditions. So therefore, he should have said explicitly, I'm keeping it for myself, a derech, and if he doesn't, then Rabbi Akiva says he's going to have to arrange it after the fact. Whereas by the trees, for example, that point is not relevant. So it's not a matter of Mercher Ba'ayin Yofa or Mercher Ba'ayin Ra, which we can extend to other similar dinim. We could say that it's a specific thing over here about that he doesn't want people trampling through his house. But Rabbanan Sabri, whereas the Chum would hold, the person doesn't care. Einanam Rotsa Shiyuta Ma'osa. Well, the Chum would hold the other way around. You have a consideration the opposite. Einanam Rotsa Shiyuta Ma'osa Shiyuta Ma'os V'Yifrach Ba'aver. A person doesn't want to have. He's going to get money because he's selling the house. But afterwards, to go to his boat and do this, he's going to have to fly through the air and not have any way of getting there. So therefore, the Chum say, fine, Rabbi Akiva, you're saying a person, we can assume that it didn't include an easement because a person doesn't want people trampling through his house. That may be true, but on the other hand, a person also wants a way to get to his bird or dus. So therefore, we should assume by default that he did want to keep for himself an easement, even without specifying. And after all, Rashbam points out, Yad Ba'al Ashtar Al Tachtona. We're going to say, as usual, the one who has the shtar is the one who has the lower hand because he wants to keep from the other guy the ability to use an easement while amotzim achavei lavera. So again, not necessarily is that relevant to the matter of the trees. The Rashba points out, actually, it's not exactly what Rashbam says, that it's just a machloikas where Rabbi Akiva is taking into consideration the tramping through the house and the chama only taking into consideration this business of flying through the air. For one thing that Rashba says, then why would the Gemara mention the point about taking money at all? Besides that, the Gemara should point out that there's a stira between the Reisha and the Sefer of the Mishnah in terms of does he have to specify an easement as well. So the Rashba explains that Rabbi Akiva would say, sure, I understand. Of course, a person wants to be able to get to his bur or dus. On the other hand, he's desperate to sell. And he figures, if I say I'm selling, but I'm keeping an easement, then Shimon may say, well, in that case, I don't want to bother buying the house. So we can assume that he's giving up as many rights as possible in order to allow the sale to go through. That's why it uses the expression little mois, whereas the Chum hold that he's not necessarily so desperate to sell. We can assume that he's keeping for himself an easement and he's not worried about that might cause the sale to fall through. Anyway, the point is, in other words, that Rabbi Akiva and the Chum are not necessarily arguing about the point of Mocha Ba'ayin Yofa, Mocha, or Mocha Ba'ayin Ra, Mocha, which then would affect other dinim as well. For example, the case where you sell a tree, it may be something specific to our din because of these considerations about somebody else walking through your house versus having to fly to get to your thing. Okay. Elami Sefer. So the Gemara says, fine, you're right, but maybe we can, the Elami Sefer, maybe we can learn from the Sefer of the Mishnah. We can say about Mocha Ba'ayin Ro or Mocha Ba'ayin Yofa. Because the Mishnah continues, Mochra Ma'akar, the other way around, a person sells a bur or dus to somebody else and keeps the house for himself. Where Rabbi Akiva had said that then you don't need to buy an easement because and why would that be? But that's just because mocha buying yafa mocha. So when you're selling a burr, automatically you're including an easement to it. And whereas the Chacham would say he does have to buy an easement because mocha buying raw mocha, and therefore we can assume he may have wanted to sell only the burr and nothing else. So now, of course, on the face of it, it can't be anything having to do with whether he cares that somebody walks through his house or not. So now we can't say that the Chacham are concerned that what do you mean a person doesn't want to take money and have to fly in the air? You only have the consideration of Dris Asbesa, and the Chacham don't care about that. So we see from that, therefore, that the consideration must be mocha ba'ayin ra or mocha ba'ayin ya. But the Gemara says still not necessarily, duma bahai pligi. No, because you could still say maybe the machlokes is as follows. I'm going to say adds a couple of lines in the Gemara over here to spell out more clearly. Shouldn't we say that the machlokes is as follows? That about kibbutz of mocha ba'ayin yofa mocha v'rabbanon sabi mocha ba'ayin ra mocha, where it's exactly that mocha ba'ayin yofa mocha or mocha ba'ayin ra mocha, and therefore we would say from the sefer of the Mishnah we could show that that is the underlying cause of their machlokes. But the Gemara says not necessarily. Duma Baha'i Pligi, not necessarily. The Machloikas may still be in the Sefer as follows. The Rabbi Akiva Sovar Bosa Daita the Lekeach Hazlinen. Rabbi Akiva may hold, we have to look at the Das of the buyer. Maybe, in other words, both, like this we're saying, when we say Mocha Ba'ayin Yofa Mocha or Mocha Ba'ayin Ra Mocha, then we're saying that it's just a question. What are you meaning to sell? When we tried to say before that instead the Machloikas may be about the opposing claims about Drisa Saregel versus Pereach Ba'aver. So what we were saying is the Chachamim are more concerned about one and about Kiva is more concerned about the other. Maybe we would say now, yeah, both of about Kiva and the Chachamim take both things into consideration. But Rabbi Akiva Sava Bosa Daita the Lekeach Hazlinen. Rabbi Akiva is going to say that we go primarily according to what the Lekeach is thinking. The Lekeach would prefer to be a person doesn't want to have to spend money for nothing. So he knows if he's buying a burr in the sefer, then he knows automatically you have to have a way of getting to it. So therefore, he's going to have to, therefore, automatically a path would be included. Whereas the Chum would say you look more at what the seller wants to do, and the seller therefore wants to be able to not have people walk through his house unnecessarily. So in other words, we would say both the Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim realize, yes, of course, there are opposing claims over here, but which one are we going to focus on more would be the Machlokas, not necessarily a matter of Mocha Ba'ayin Ra or Mocha Ba'ayin Yafa. And therefore, again, our Mishnah would not necessarily have a bearing on the case where you're selling trees. So no proof one way or the other from our Mishnah so far, neither from the Reisha nor from the Sefer, about whether we hold Mocha Ba'ayin Ra Mocha or Mocha Ba'ayin Yafa Mocha. Fine. Well, the Gemara continues. Well, okay, let's try to prove from another Mishnah later on in our parak. The Mishnah describes over there a case where a person sells a field. And the Mishnah says, loyas a burr, that a person sells a field, he does not automatically sell a burr located in the field, which is used for irrigating the field. The loyas a gas, he also doesn't automatically include, there may be a wine press in the field over there that's used to press wine. It's used to press grapes to make wine. The loyas a shovach, you also haven't automatically included a birdhouse that's used over there, where wild or feral birds come and nest over there. Ben chareven, ben yeshuvin, that all of that is true. Whether these things are no longer in use, or whether they are, for example, as far as the burr, whether it has water or not, either way, it's not automatically included with the sale of the field. And you have the same machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Chum over there. But sarach likach lederach divrei Rabbi Akiva, that according to Rabbi Akiva, if you sell a field and we're saying the burr is not automatically included, then you're going to have to buy yourself an easement to get to that burr. Otherwise, you own the burr, but you have no practical way of getting there. B'chamim ain't it sarach, and the Chum say you don't need to. So we would have to figure hath chu lamali. Now, why would the Mishnah have to tell us that that machlokas again. If it was just a matter of that the moicher doesn't want people, that the lekeach doesn't want people walking through his property, and the moicher wants a way of being a versus the chum would say the moicher wants to be able to get to his burdus, then there'd be no reason to mention the machlokas again. Elalav hokamash malon. Evidently, it must be. The reason why the Mishnah has to re-mention this machloikas later is to tell us, to stress to us, that Rabbi Akiva Sover, Mercha Ba'ayin Yofa Mercha, Rabbanan Sabri Mercha Ba'ayin Ra Mercha. So if we only had an on Mishnah, then you would say they're only arguing about a house, because in a house you don't want somebody walking through your house. Maybe a field, you wouldn't care that much. Therefore, the Mishnah has to tell us the machloikas there again, and that tells us it's Mercha Ba'ayin Ra or Mercha Ba'ayin Yofa. But the Gemara says not necessarily. The domashmin and bias, the kamashmal on sada. No, because you could say that the Mishnah has to tell us in the case of a house and separately in the case of a field, because each one has a chiddush over the other. Or tzricha, because we might need the machlokas by both of them. The yeshmin and bias, if we were only told by a house that you have the machlokas, you would say mishum de boitz nirsa, because you know what, in a house you want privacy, you don't want the other guy coming through your house whenever he wants. Therefore, you would say by default. Therefore, the chum would say by default you're not including therefore Rabbi Akiva rather would say that you have to buy yourself an easement to the burr in the house, and otherwise it's not automatically included. Because there the point is, I don't want you walking through my house is a very strong claim, because you want to have privacy. I will sada, but when it comes to a field where you don't need that kind of privacy, aim a lie. Maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Akiva would agree with the chacham. The iyeshmin and sada, and if we were only told by a field, you would say, on the contrary, mishum dekosh ledavsha. It's bad for the field when people walk through it. It damages the crops. So in a field, you have more reason to say, I don't want you walking through my field. I will bias aim a lie. But with a house, maybe not, because it's not going to get damaged by you walking through it. So you could say that the reason the Mishnah mentions that machloikas later on in the parak, again, between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, is because it's still a question of drisa saregel versus yifrach ba'aver. But the point is that the same argument of drisa saregel can be made in different ways in a house versus in a field. In each one, there's a different reason why drisa saregel would be a problem. And therefore, the Mishnah has to tell us that in both cases, Rabbi Akiva holds that that's an issue, and the Chum holds it's not, or at least that it's less of an issue. But that doesn't prove that Rabbi Akiva is, and vice versa. Rashbam adds that the Chumim would say the other way around. You could say in the other way around, in a house, it doesn't hurt the floor to walk over there. So therefore, it's more likely to say that he kept himself an easement, but not in a field. And on the other hand, in a field, again, you don't do anything private over there. So therefore, we would assume that you kept yourself an easement, but in a house, not. So the same logic that we said as far as Rabbi Akiva will work as far as the Chum as well. So still no proof of what the underlying machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and the Chum is. We can say it's a more general thing of Mocha ba'ayin Yafa Mocha or Mocha ba'ayin Ra Mocha, which would affect other dinim. For example, this case where you sell a person trees in your field and not the land itself, whether the land under the trees itself is included. Or we could say that no, the machlokas over here is something specific to houses and fields and not something that affects other areas of halacha. So Ela Misefa, rather, we can prove from later on in the perek, because in that same Mishnah where it mentioned that you sold a field and that you're keeping the burr or gas or whatever for yourself, the Mishnah had continued. The other way around, if you sell the burr or the gas or whatever to somebody else and keep the field for yourself, then Rabbi Akiva says the other way around, you don't have to buy an easement and the chum say you do. Now, why would it be necessary to mention that point again when we already had that in our Mishnah? Hainuach isn't exactly the same thing as the machlokas that we had in the house in our Mishnah. El alav hakamash malon. Evidently, that must be why the Mishnah is adding those. And again, you can't even say that's because there's a difference between a house and a field. Because again, we already see that from the reisha of the two Mishnahs. So now if we have the sefer of our Mishnah and the sefer of the later Mishnah, both of which mention the other way around, that when you sell the burr by itself, whether you need an easement or not, there'd be no reason to repeat it again. It must be that the Mishnah is repeating it again to tell us Rabbi Akiva is on the Chum Svara, the Rabbi Akiva Svara, Moicha Ba'ayin Yafa Moicha, Rabban and Sabi Moicha Ba'ayin Ra Moicha, that it's not something specific to houses and fields. It's more general, the question of whether you're, when you're selling, are you meaning to include as much as possible, or are you not? So Shmamina, so that proves it. That is the underlying machlokas. And again, there'd be no reason to otherwise repeat it. Because in particular, Rashbam points out it's Rabbi Akiva who holds that walking through a field would be a problem because it would damage it. So now we're saying the Chachamim do agree with that point as well. So it's true. You do have the different considerations of whether walking through the house is, or walking through the field is more injurious. You also have the issue of, do I want to have to fly through the air to get to my bird or not? But ultimately, it's not based on those considerations. Both the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva agree that all of those are valid considerations. So it's strictly a matter of mocha ba'ayinya, and once we were already told before, once we were already told in the next Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva holds that you have to consider the matter of drisa both in a house and in a field, and the Chum are disagreeing in both cases. So then we can say the Chum do agree with that point. Drisa is a problem. However, on the other hand, there is Yifrach Ba'aver. There is, I don't want to have to fly through. And ultimately, then the Machloikas is not because of those particular situations, not because of those particular arguments, but because more generally, Mocha Ba'ayin Ra Mocha or Mocha Ba'ayin Yafa Mocha. So Shmamina, so that proves that's how it is. And now, though, that is the underlying reason for their machlokas in our Mishnah and in the Mishnah later on in the Perek. And now, therefore, we can also apply that to the machlokas earlier in the Masechta in the previous Perek about where you sell trees to somebody in your field without selling the field itself. Have you automatically included the land under the trees? Rabbi Akiva, who holds Mercha Ba'ayin Yafa Mercha, is going to say yes. So I have therefore the right to dig under those trees, for example, because I own the land directly underneath them, whereas the Chacham would say that no, you don't.